Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Hey, what? Oh, hi. I was going to say, guess what?
What?
Happy anniversary.
Aww. It's happy podcast anniversary to you, too.
Podcast anniversary, number one.
That's so romantic.
This is our first, we've just completed our first year. A year ago this week, we released our very first episode of Misfit Stars.
That's amazing.
I really want to go back and listen to it, actually, the very first episode, because I think that we sound a lot different then than we do now.
I remember that the speed was about half. Like, the talking speed was about half what it is now. Right now, we're comfortable. We're just moving quickly, zipping through it. Neither of us knew what the hell we were doing, and so we approached it really delicately.
I think I was doing my very best impression of NPR radio hosts.
Yeah, that's right. Talking quietly, making sympathetic noises.
Yeah. But happy anniversary. What a year. Yeah.
It's been really cool.
It's been really good. In fact, in the second part of today's episode, we're going to get into sort of a recap of the last year and some stuff that we've learned along the way. We've learned along the way.
We like to take teachable moments out of stuff.
Well, that's kind of the whole point.
Welcome to Shannon and Jamie's Teachable Moments podcast.
I am looking forward to digging into that. But before we do any digging into anything, welcome.
Yeah. Seriously, everyone, welcome. Thank you so much for being here with us. We have new listeners this week. I know this because, like, every week we see our statistics. We had one of those odd bump weeks last week where we had, like almost 50% more listeners than usual.
A new bump? Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, and it'll go back down. I've seen this happen a few times in the past. We usually are, like, somewhere in the 325, 350 listens a week kind of range. Last week it was 574.
Whoa.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
And surely this week it'll be back down. Every so often I make a little post on Facebook and I tag some people and people I think maybe listen.
Maybe they do.
That's good. That's the desired outcome.
My take on the numbers is that it's just all hogwash.
Shannon is a science skeptic, y'all.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm a computer data skeptic.
That's so funny to me. But I mean, I can't talk you out of it, right? It's like a religion. If you don't believe in computers, you don't believe in computers.
I do believe in computers. I just don't understand how they collect this data and, like, what it all means. And so, like, numbers, schmumbers, I'm not sure what it means. But we're so glad that there
The one I'm talking about here comes from Blueberry, people who distribute our thing. And every time the feed gets accessed, the computer adds one.
I understand all that. You've explained that to me before. But, like, what is the feed being accessed mean? Does that mean somebody, like, accessing the feed and then pausing and coming back later? Does that mean... Like, I just don't know. I don't know what...
Great question.
There's another layer.
They do account for unique listens. Okay. These are theoretically unique listens.
Okay, so
that would be a different number than someone listening to it three times, right? They do it by IP address and all that kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah. They've thought it through, I think.
Maybe it all means something, but maybe. I'm still agnostic.
I love it. The podcast data skeptic is online.
But we do have new listeners. We know that. And we have some new supporters this week also. And
yes.
Thank you so much to those of you who raised your hand this past week and said, I want to be a star.
Looking at you, Katie, by the way. Every so often, a dear, dear friend supports our pod.
Yes.
It's special whenever anyone does it.
Yes.
But when a dear friend does it, it's extra special. So thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Super, super cool. And all of the new supporters, thank you. It means a whole lot. You know, we're incrementally, slowly. And by the way, every week I'm like, we have some new supporters. It's always like, one. You know what I mean? It's never a huge amount. Like, we are still, like, inching toward having 100 supporters of the podcast.
Which is a goal of ours.
That's a goal.
We want to get to 100
And by
supporters.
The way, people, if we get to 100 supporters, we are going to start every so often doing live mini concerts.
That's right.
It's only for our Misfit Stars supporters.
Yeah.
And it won't just be Shannon playing and me looking on adoringly. It's going to be me playing keyboard, maybe electric piano, and Shannon singing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really, really cool.
Like, it's the kind of performance, really, that's we've never done a performance like that. Really, ever.
Man, local local emergency crews think this is a great idea,
they
too.
They sure do.
Yeah.
I would love to get to 100 supporters for that reason. It would be really fun to do that.
Getting closer all the time.
If you are listening to this right now and you're thinking you want to be part of helping us get to that 100 supporters goal.
Yeah.
Good thought, first of all. Way to go, you.
Yeah, be a supporter.
Secondly, if you want to do that, here's how. You go to misfitstars.com/join.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to a page on the interwebs where you very easily, quickly...
You said interwebs.
I did. You can easily, quickly sign up to become one of our Misfit Stars supporting members. It's very easy to do. The lowest level of support is $5 a month.
And it's cheap.
It's cheap. And And by doing that...
Unless you don't have $5 a month, in which case it's not cheap. I get that. I've been there.
Absolutely.
And just please keep listening for free. We love you so much.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
But it is by doing the $5 a month or by doing any of the other levels that we have available where you can get sticker sheets or t-shirts.
The t-shirt's freaking killing it.
Yeah.
I think we should do a new t-shirt for 2020.
Oh, interesting.
Like every year Misfit Stars, we should have a new shirt maybe.
You're brainstorming out loud in microphones that we're going to put out in the podcast.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. So...
But it's not a promise, people, it's just an idea.
When you're doing this support, here's what you're doing. What you're doing is you're saying out loud with your, putting your money where your mouth is, saying, this podcast brings some sort of value into my life. It brings me joy. It brings me things to think about, it, whatever. And I want to be part of helping sustain it. So thank you. You're also saying, hey, I kind of like Jamie and Shannon and I want to support what they're doing in the world.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that you're saying by doing that. But also really in a very practical sense, what you're doing by giving us your support on a monthly basis is you're helping keep this thing going and you're helping to just in another small little way sustain what Jamie and I are doing in the world. And so we really appreciate every single one of you who have become supporters this last year.
Yeah.
Our legacy supporters from before we started the podcast.
Seriously.
Some of you guys hanging on for a long time. We are so, so, so appreciative of you. It matters that we have your support. We feel it. We literally feel encouraged because you are on our team. Thank you.
Yeah. It means a lot.
It does.
Thanks, people.
So,
MisfitStars.com/join, do it.
Yes.
And hey, by the way, if you love the podcast, please go quickly right now. I mean, just hit pause, literally do it right now and leave a glowing 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help. What we're trying to do with this is to get the podcast algorithm to share this podcast with other humans.
Yeah.
And so, you know how sometimes if you're in your podcast app of choice and it says, hey, because you listen to this, you might also like this. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Imagine if people who are into the same kind of stuff you are got shown Misfit Stars as a suggestion and then fell in love with it. You'd kind of be responsible for that.
You would.
That would be really nifty.
You could take credit.
You could do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we would give you credit. We'd be grateful for that.
We would.
So just go leave a 5-star review, please. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
So after the break today, we're going to get into sort of a review, the year in review.
Year in review.
Aw.
Yeah.
But first, we've got the last week to talk about.
Weekly recap, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did we do this week? We did a bunch of stuff this week. It was a long week, actually, of just super productive days.
It's been a great week.
Shannon painted all week long.
Yeah, I kind of went down into a hole, literally our basement, and went on a painting tear.
It's technically a hole, but it's actually very bright and nice down
there. It is.
I don't want people thinking that Shannon's going down into like some dirt floor dungeon.
No.
I ever shackled down there painting dirt. Out of spite.
Imagine.
Yeah.
I've been on this, like, just feeling motivated to beautify our home in small ways. And so the basement project that was, I tackled this last week, the descent into the basement, the stairwell, basically, from our kitchen back door area down into the basement.
Yeah.
And I rehabbed that entire thing. The stairs, the sort of like woodwork along the side of one part of it, the walls, the ceiling, everything. I touched it all. And it was a massive project.
It really pops.
And it looks good.
I think you did a good job.
It looks really good. For me, this kind of activity, like I love, painting is so fun because like you can see like in an immediate sort of way, the progress you're making on the thing you're doing, you know, like, yeah. I just love that. Like, and so sign me up to paint. If you need help painting your house, I'm there. I really love doing it.
That's great.
And this is a little corner of our house that I could tackle by myself. And just to be able to space out for a while, like,
yeah.
I was listening to other podcasts. I was needing so many podcasts to listen to that I actually like veered into new ones that I hadn't listened to in a while, revisiting
That's great.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, it got me into some like different worlds and it was just a great way to like just not have to like produce anything from my own mind, but just to absorb.
Lucky.
And like just kind of yeah, B. It was great. It was a really...
That sounds so wonderful. It was the exact opposite of my week,
yeah.
which was spent entirely producing things from my mind all of the time.
And with other people.
And with other people.
Yeah,
which is even harder.
But you love it.
I love it. It's great.
This is really your creative season, right? Like
yeah.
This typically when we get home from tour is when your work life ramps up.
Yeah.
with work, my independent work life.
Yeah,
that's not work. That's not wrapped up with my work.
Yeah.
So it's and it's fun to hear all the stuff you've been working on.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Oh man. So the biggest thing last week is that we had a kid in our house.
We did. We had an 18-year-old.
We had a teen
living with us for a few days.
Yeah, lived with us for 3 days.
We are the age of people that do have 18-year-olds, children. Yeah,
we're the same age as this kid's parents.
Yeah.
We are dear friends with this kid's parents.
Yeah. And so to have a, like, we've never had, like, a baby, a toddler, a school-aged child.
No.
None of it. Like, but to all of a sudden have, like, 18-year-old energy in our house and to be the people who are his parents' age, it was just, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was odd. it was very odd. I found myself just every so often, not often, a lot, but just like a little bit, just falling very naturally into the kind of pattern where I just felt very comfortable off the cuff just telling him to do things.
Like a dad?
Yeah, for sure. Not really asking, just telling like, hey, do this, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, but not like in a bad way, just like a, you know.
Yeah.
Not like a, hey, dumbass, do this. Just like, hey, do this.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, can you turn on the light in your room? Hey, can you make your, actually, we didn't have to tell him to make his bed. He was an amazing house guest.
He was an impeccable house guest.
He was a really good, like for any age house guest. And totally. That he was that at age 18 was remarkable.
It was.
Yeah.
Very true.
And we worked on music. The reason he was here is because he is a budding artist.
Yeah.
And his parents being both artists themselves are super, super supportive. Of this. His mom is the person who painted that unbelievably beautiful painting that we got ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We got one another for our Christmas present last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it over your shoulder right now. It's stunning.
Takes my breath away every day.
Yeah, quite literally. It's just like you just have to stop and spend some time with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like a very, very cool thing to have in our home.
Yeah.
And
his dad is an audio engineer and composer.
Yeah, totally. I think if you were to ask him, he'd say composer, producer, and then it's sort of just by default an engineer, kind of in the same way I am.
Distinction matters.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And he's amazing. He's great at what he does. They both are. And so they're really tolerant of their kids and very encouraging of both their kids having artistic bents. Their younger kid is a visual artist and also does music. And the older kid, the one who was with us, is a really, really good musical artist. He's doing some very kind of left of center stuff, some
mm-hmm.
very just interesting, weird, marginal stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting when, like, I remember when we first started talking with our friends, June and Brian, about their son. Well, they talked with us about their son, you know, producing music. We'd met him, but we didn't know him.
Yeah.
Because he mostly spends time in his room making music. So yeah, we didn't really get to spend much time with him. But
definitely kind of like a loner by default.
Yeah, yeah. He spends a lot of time alone working on his music.
Yep.
But I remember, you know, when they were first talking about him, and then we kind of got to know him a little better, and then he offered to send some music. And it's always a little bit of a tenuous situation when someone's like, hey, can I share my music with you? Or can we share our child's music with you or something? Because it's like, you know, it could be great.
Probably won't be.
It might be terrible. And then what do you do? Like, how do you, where do you go from there, you know?
We've both gotten pretty good at being encouraging of people who aren't there yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's always something, you know, to be encouraged in a person's work, right?
Yeah.
So, but when he sent us his first stuff, we were both like, dang, this, it's good. It's like, clearly he has stuff to work on. And you've been mentoring him remotely for months.
Yep.
On like the technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But from the very first listen, I think it was obvious to both of us that he had a perspective on music making that was unique enough to make you perk up and listen. You know, like,
he's got a point of view.
Yes. Yes. He's got an artistic point of view.
And man, it's so different than almost everyone else's age. Like, 95% of people his age, like, they're like, I'm a singer-songwriter. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean
and they play piano or they play acoustic guitar and they're writing songs. And that's great.
I mean, there are a lot of people that do that, but there are also a lot of people making electronic music and a lot of people making hip-hop beats. And so, of course there are.
Yeah, some.
Of course there are.
Some, yep.
There are lots out there.
Yep, there
doing
are.
Doing that.
Yep, we don't encounter them a lot, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that mostly when people send stuff to us, it tends to be
a
lot more singer-songwriter-y kind of stuff.
That's fair.
Probably because you're a singer-songwriter.
That's probably
would
why.
Would be my guess.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's, of course, people make music that inspires them. And, you know, people of course, are making hip-hop and stuff like that. But what he's doing is just weird. It's like, I would call it like emo trap.
Okay.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, he's super inspired by people like Lil Peep and Chief Keef, where it's like, it's very interesting. Like the music side is almost like trap music, like that kind of Southern version of rap where it's kind of like electronically based. It's got those crisp sort of hi-hats that change in speed.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's sort of got the 808, like the big low end kick drum kind mm-hmm. of thing. It sounds very urban in nature, but then on top of it, instead of rapping, it's kind of like almost like chanting. It's halfway between rapping and singing. It's got sort of like it's slow. The tempos are always pretty slow. And it's got the rhythmic repetition of like rap, right? It's got like the rhythmic inflections of rap, but it's sung. But the singing is kind of like in a really limited vocal range. So it has almost more of a chant-like effect.
Yeah, the melodies to my ear sound kind of like schoolyard sing-songy little bit.
Yes.
You know what I
mean? That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, for those of us who went to school, just imminently sing-alongable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like memorable and
yeah.
There's a reason why schoolyard sing-along songs stick in our head forever.
Yeah, totally. Because they're all in that same three-note range, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically three blind mice, but like way more aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Three blind mice who are thinking about stabbing you.
Totally. And it's so interesting because like the music itself is very... what's the word I'm looking for? Like the lyrical quality is very aggressive.
Yep.
And very...
It's vivid.
Vivid. That's a good... And
it's
and,
like it's like horror movie kind of stuff. It's like fantasy. Like,
yeah. But yeah. But this kid is very polite.
Yeah. Like to a fault.
And very... I think he said thank you 100 times while he was here.
Yeah.
Like, so the sort of like dichotomy, is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Between like the...
Juxtaposition, maybe.
Juxtaposition between like his real life persona versus the character in the music is really interesting. And it sort of speaks to me like a broader sort of metaphor for maybe where he's at as an 18-year-old in the world, you know, like clearly, having this sort of like, not a rough exterior, but like a shielded exterior,
mm-hmm.
right? A little closed off, a little untrusting at first,
mm-hmm.
but it's so easy to see just one layer beyond that with clearly a desperate need and desire to connect,
yep.
you know,
yep.
with people. And it's just so interesting to me to see that representation in the music and him as a person and to think about all the ways in which like we do that as humans all the time, right? Like we put up this like shell of
sure.
protection, you know, and then there are these moments where we're like reaching out because clearly we have the desire to, we have a desire to connect. We have a desire to, you know, to be seen by others, you know, and understood.
Sure.
So it was just really fun to kind of see that playing out in a really raw 18-year-old form.
I know,
in our house.
Right? Like this tension between like wanting so badly to connect and not 100% being sure that it's safe to like reach out in that way and
totally.
Connect in that way. Like because that requires vulnerability, and like vulnerability isn't something that necessarily everyone has their arms completely around at age 18.
Oh, at age 30 or 45 or 60.
Yeah, I feel
60.
Like I've made some progress on that in the last 5 years. I'm 47.
Yeah, totally. But hey, you know what? Like props to this kid
for
getting on a freaking plane and coming to the house of two people he's only known really for, you know, a handful of months.
Yeah.
I mean, we met him a year and a half ago or so, but like maybe for the first time it was a year and a half ago we met.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in passing. We've only really known him since like this past summer.
Yeah, that's the first time we had like a real like heart to heart with him.
Yeah, props to him for getting on a plane to come to an unknown place with unknown people. I mean, that's vulnerable. And that's that like, I just really appreciate his attitude, his spirit, his willingness to go there.
And so what we did, he and I, like we worked on three songs and each of them was kind of touching on music from a different like technical perspective,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was a song that he had recorded. Like he works a lot with his friend. He has a best friend.
Uh-huh.
And he does all the, like he makes
collab.
The beats. he makes the beats and he sings and his friend like sings and mm-hmm. they both like write what they sing.
Mm-hmm.
And like they'll trade off verses in a song. It's very, yeah. It's kind of like there's another, it's funny. So much of the stuff is derived from hip hop processes, but doesn't necessarily sound like hip hop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Like I'll take a verse and you take a verse. That's totally rap. That's how rap works.
Yes.
You know?
And
like
he calls
it's like a feature.
He calls what he does rap too, but yeah. It just doesn't sound like rap.
It's not
to me.
Rap. No. Yeah. But he calls it that, which I love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, just I'm on my dirty rap shit. I'm like, no, I don't think that's actually what you're on. But cool, man, let me do your thing, you know?
Totally,
it's fine. It's just
totally.
Semantics. It's all good. You're making art. It's great.
Yes.
But so the first song, like he and his friend had, they had recorded all of it, and he just basically brought me all the raw audio files, and I just went through the process of turning it into a mix, like a final mix of the song, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And showed him kind of what that looked like along the way, which is great because like he had just kind of built up, I think, just... his process, like where he's at right now is kind of like if you start with a badly built outhouse and then you just keep doing additions and all of a sudden you have a 6-bedroom house, you know what I mean? But it's built around nothing and the foundations are terrible, you know? And so like I basically like just was like, let's tear this whole thing down. Let's pour a proper concrete foundation of a mix and like, let's,
yeah.
And we'll do proper beams and structure and the whole thing.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
And so the whole thing's really solid. Which of course was like an enormously uncomfortable prospect for him.
Of course.
You know? So we had to work through that discomfort and like the trust levels in there. That was great. It worked out really well. And then we did a second song where he had done all the
music.
He'd done the music. He programmed the beat, but he had written the song, the vocals on top of it, but then he hadn't recorded them yet. And so I recorded and produced his vocals
on
top of that.
Such a vulnerable thing to
oh yeah
record vocals with another human
oh yeah
for the first time.
Oh, it's terrifying. Terrifying.
Yes.
Potentially embarrassing, awkward, just
oh,
all
yeah.
bad.
Oh yeah.
You know, so we had to kind of work through those hurdles together.
Yeah.
And that was great. I think a good learning experience. Probably super valuable for him to see how somebody else approaches just putting together a vocal.
Right.
You know, how do I conceive of, you know, putting together like layering background vocals
yeah.
and like depth and perspective and making things sound bigger and that whole sort of thing. And so that worked out really well. And then the third song is one that he had recorded completely on his own, mixed completely on his own, and I basically just mastered it,
right.
which is where you just go through and you do kind of like the final little touches just to idealize the sound of it and just sort of finish it and make it presentable to the world.
Right.
You know? And so through all of those things, we got to work really hand in hand. And what was really interesting is like, so he's got a way that he hears things in his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not like shooting in the dark. He very much has things that he likes the sound of and doesn't like the sound of.
Right.
And his instincts are very true and very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
He very clearly has a perspective on what he likes.
Which is a great starting place for anyone making art.
Oh, it's an amazing, amazing starting
yeah.
place, you know? He has an artistic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really cool about that is I did a lot of learning from him in that regard.
Oh,
and
cool.
And so, like, especially for, like there's certain things that you do to audio to treat them, you know? And there's just certain tools that you would use for certain things, you know? And a lot of them have to do with how you control dynamics, right? Like
mm-hmm.
the dynamic range. Dynamics is like the softs and louds of any
mm-hmm.
like given sound or whatever, you know? And a lot of the time, like the way a certain sound will get performed and recorded has too many softs and louds for where you want it to eventually sit in the finished like version, the finished mix of the song, right?
Right?
Like you want the vocal, generally speaking, you know, for popular styles of music, you know, current modern styles of music, just to kind of sit in a pretty consistent range. So nothing pokes out too loud, nothing dips down too quiet.
Yes.
Because those things just sound like errors in modern styles.
Right.
You know? And so there's a tool that you can use, which is called a compressor, and it literally just compresses that dynamic range. It squeezes it, you know? It squeezes the louds and the softs closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally what you would use for a vocal, sometimes a couple of them in combination in series, you know, to do
mm-hmm.
a little bit of it, you know, in successive passes, you know. But what he likes the sound of is another completely different but related dynamic tool called a limiter, which is like a really extreme version of a compressor where instead of like squeezing things gently, just lops them off at the frickin' top and mushes them downward, you know. But in so doing, it generates a lot of harmonics if you abuse it. Like a limiter, if you don't abuse it, is really clean and you don't really hear it work. working. But if you abuse it, then it causes distortion, which is basically just like harmonic information.
A thickening
and like an edge. And there's all these other sonic artifacts that if you abuse a limiter, you get. And so he has been abusing limiters almost exclusively for vocal processing. Like, I don't even know if he was using any compression at all. If he was, he probably wasn't using it right. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of put it on like, oh, it's not doing enough. Let's add more limiters. I think he has like 2 or 3 limiters on his vocal chain, you know, the one that he had evolved at home, that outhouse that he had built into a 6-story mansion, you know?
Right.
And so it's not technically correct what he was doing, you know, and there are ways to do it better. But something I very much learned from him is that for this kind of thing that he wants to do in the style of it, mm-hmm. the abuse, the misuse of this certain process can actually have really cool effects
right.
for vocals in this way.
Right.
You know, it's just really interesting to me, the idea that even though he doesn't know what the hell he's doing at all, that I can still learn from him.
That's
you know
cool.
what I mean? Like the yeah. way he hears things and like reinterpreting the way he hears things. Like uh-huh. too, like I was like, you know, it strikes me, I told him at one point, I was like, it strikes me that part of what you like about the way this sounds is that it's causing a lot of distortion. Check out another way of doing this. And I loaded up a distortion plugin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like you can also, like there's different ways to do distortion. It's not just by abusing this one kind of process wrong. You can actually mm-hmm. use something that's made to do that and use it more correctly.
Right.
And thereby leave like more space for other things to happen afterwards.
Right.
You know?
We are so in the weeds of audio engineering right now.
I think I'm trying to make it accessible for the layperson.
Yeah.
I think I'm doing an okay job.
You probably
right?
are.
Yeah. And so, you know, so I was able to show him a couple of other tools. Like, hey, what if you distorted your voice using this tool instead, you know? Uh-huh. Another interesting challenge was that, like, I have a lot of audio tools. They're called plugins. I own, like, hundreds of them. He owns, like, 25, but I own all of the ones he owns, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to restrict myself as much as possible to constructing all this stuff using only tools that he has.
Right.
Which was really interesting
well,
as a challenge.
Well, that's always a really interesting challenge for any creative endeavor. Like, the idea of limiting your resources
yeah.
really, like, spawns creative thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you have to get creative if you have a limited set of tools.
Yeah.
You like sometimes having too many tools at your disposal, like can be overwhelming.
Oh, paralyzing.
And paralyzing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, like starting with not a lot of tools is a great way.
Oh yeah.
To just build a foundation of how to think in your own creative process.
I mean, I do that in my own work still to this day, you
right.
know? Like, I have acquired so many freaking tools, you know? Like, if you open up my list of compressors, I have literally, like, over 100 of them. You know
yes.
what I mean?
I know.
But, like, I don't use them all at any... I use them all over the course of a few year period. Any few year window, I will have used all of them at least one time, you know? But, like, for any given record, I tend just to be like, okay, for this particular record, the way this... what we're going for in this record, this one and this one and this one work for this record. I'm just going to use those ones,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then if something just is being unwieldy and isn't responding to any of those three, then I'll maybe reach into my bag of tricks. But generally speaking, I try to choose a palette of sounds
right.
for every project I'm working on. It's not the same,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's a really neat way of working. It's like being a painter and being like, you know what? For this painting, I'm just going to use this red and this green and this purple. And let's see what that does.
Right.
And it's like, if at a certain point, it's like, you know, I really need some yellow to make that red pop more. Okay, fine, grab the yellow. But
right.
like starting with a limited toolkit
yeah.
can be a really great way just to kind of push yourself arbitrarily in a direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I think if you trust who you are enough as an artist, just sort of starting off, like purposely pointing yourself down a random path based on the tools that you pick can be an amazing way to start. And then just let your intuition be your guide from there.
Well, that's the thing is that like a limited set of tools makes it so that the thing at the front of the stage is not, look at all these great tools I have. The thing at the front of the stage is your intention.
Yeah.
What you have to say. You know, like that becomes the driver in ways that sometimes can get buried when you have too many resources at your disposal.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a fun experience having him here.
It was great.
And it was a joy to have him here.
Yeah,
we
great.
Laughed a lot and, you pushed his buttons. I loved it when he was like, if it was anybody but you saying this right now, Jamie, I'd be so mad.
I know.
Like, I think
very sweet.
I think you're in the circle of trust.
I love it.
It was great. It
I
was really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
And then you immediately got to work on a mastering project after he left, which was such a joy to hear.
A joy.
What is it? It's a goth electro. What would you
it's
call
like,
it?
It's like a goth, like a electro punk video game. kind of
soundtrack.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the video game is also like goth electro punk.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But I had the job this weekend of mastering the original soundtrack for it. I mean, first of all, having a video game that has an original soundtrack like it's a movie.
It's amazing.
That's awesome.
It was so fun to hear you working on it because it was like, how many tracks were on the
12.
Thing? 12 tracks. So like I was, you know, there were a couple nights where I was like reading my book on the couch and you were working in the studio in the adjacent room and like it's all instrumental, right? So and very, I mean, very goth and electro and punk, but very cinematic as well. And so like in, there were times when like the soundtrack was becoming the soundtrack to the book I was reading. And like, I was sort of like lost in its own, in the world of the soundtrack. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's very Blade Runner-y in feel, you know? Yeah. Like imagine Blade Runner with faster beats and
dystopic
you're basically there.
Future.
Yeah, but that just that, the whole thing is very dark, very crushing, very overwhelming feeling psychologically.
But also beautiful.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like soaring. And it was really cool to hear you working on it. And the video game comes out on Friday, right?
Yeah, it's available. On PC and on Switch, a lot of the world, but not the whole world. I know it's available in like Asia and Europe, and obviously all of North and South America. I think Australia.
What's it called?
It's called Black Future 88.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And if people want to listen to the soundtrack, is that what they would search on for digital too?
Yep. And it'll be on Bandcamp. You can just go stream it on Bandcamp.
Oh, cool.
And I'll post a link to that if I remember. I'm sure I'll post it over the weekend.
Oh yeah, you will.
Because that's the thing. Like, I did the mastering. I finished it yesterday, and it's being. Like, it's literally being released on Friday.
Right.
This couldn't have been, it could have been more last minute. I guess we could have done started today, but like, it couldn't have been much more last minute.
No.
But it was great. I dug my teeth in. And I think came up with something really cool for it, just like an overall presentation
it's
for
wonderful.
It. I'm very proud of it. The whole thing, by the way, is in D minor. Literally, the entire album, every single song is in D minor.
It makes sense because as you're going from scene to scene in the video game, like, you would.
It's
like,
got to fade from one thing to the next.
Yeah,
it's got to have continuity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is pretty amazing, though. Doing an entire album in D minor is an inspiring idea and one that I might steal for something in the
future.
Totally.
You can get lost in it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
You know what would be another great key for that would be F sharp minor.
Why specifically those keys?
Well, I mean, just D minor has this kind of relentless bleakness about it.
Yeah.
But F sharp minor is a little bit more kind of like aggro and edgy in a way. Like, keys feel different from each other, you know?
Oh,
like,
awesome.
Our bodies
That's
have
true.
Different, like, sympathetic resonances to different harmonic structures.
Fair point.
And F sharp minor is just, it's almost a little bit more, not apocalyptic, but just kind of doomful in a way, if that makes sense. They're related to me. You know,
I've written in that key.
Yeah.
I used to write a lot more in that key.
Yeah.
Except for as a piano player, I always called it G flat minor.
Yeah, that's fair. It's funny. I'm a piano player too, but I really think about it as being F sharp minor. Like, to me, it feels different somehow.
No, I know what you mean. I know.
I don't know
this
why.
This is nerdy AF.
We're doing
music.
Some audio nerd talk today, people. How do you feel about that? It's music nerd, honestly.
It is.
It's art nerds,
it's
really.
Art
right?
nerds.
People
one
know
the,
this about
one
us.
One of the best things I think about this project was this project was with a person that you did a lot of music stuff with like 6 years ago.
Yes.
And that the relationship kind of just took a, the relationship took a turn and you guys kind of went your separate ways for a little while.
Yeah.
In your music relationship, and this is the first opportunity to work together again, and it was a really neat coming back together.
Oh, the best.
I loved
just
it.
Wonderful.
I love
yeah.
that aspect of it.
It's really like a version 2.0, I mean, for both of us. You know, we've each evolved and in our work and in our personal lives.
Yeah.
You know? This guy, his name is Don, and he had this really cool band called Tremorlow, Tremorlow. And we made their first EP in 2012, and it got some radio. One of the songs like became a minor hit on Live 105, led to them in San Francisco. It's a very sort of cutting edge, very big radio station. It's like one of the biggest alternative radio stations in the country. And this music director on the radio station there, his name is Aaron Axelson, and he's been a visionary music programmer at this radio station for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just got one of those ears. He just knows good stuff when he hears it, you know, like, and stuff that people will vibe with on his station. It's just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked up one of these songs off of this EP, and like, they had a run, the band did in the Bay Area, and you know, some limited international exposure and write-ups and stuff like that. It was really exciting to be a part of.
Yeah.
And we when we did a second EP, we started a second EP together, but then we didn't finish it together, which was fine. They were just kind of in this really weird transitional spot, and they got this sort of new manager in the middle there, and the new manager was like, we should go a different direction. And I was like, it was fine, whatever. And then the band like went on to do some other stuff, but then like people's lives took over, and Don and his wife had a kid, and like this whole thing, mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing. And like in the midst of all this, I think he was kind of redefining his relationship with music and like what right. it meant to him in his life and what he wanted to be working on.
Right.
And you know, it should be noted also that this video game, he didn't just do the music, he did the whole freaking game.
I know, it's amazing.
He's a one-man indie video game shop, but like he found a publisher to put it out, and like, they've been winning awards along the way during development. Awesome. Like, it's this whole thing, but it's just him. He did, and also, like, usually if you're a one-person video game shop, like, you'd have someone else do the music at least, you know? Oh, no, he did all the music, too. It's just wild.
The music is awesome.
Only thing that he had someone else do was art. Mm-hmm. Because he's not a visual artist as much in that way, mm-hmm. you know. But it's just amazing. The game looks super cool. The soundtrack is amazing, and as we all know from you know video games, movies, whatever, the soundtrack makes or breaks the whole thing.
I don't even. I'm not a gamer in any sense of the word, and I'd be curious to see what the experience of being in the game feels like just from hearing the music. It was really...
Yeah, it's just super cool. Yeah. So anyway, to like get a chance to reconnect with him, to your
so
point.
So good.
Really, really cool, you know? And it's interesting because like 6 years ago, I wasn't really doing mastering. I was, but like not in the nuanced way that I have... Yeah. Like, it's become a discipline and an actual thing that I do these days, you know?
Yes. There might be a new business launching soon.
Yeah, right.
Jamie's mastering service. Yeah.
No, it's true. Department of Energy Management is going to be opening a mastering branch. That's we'll be talking right. about that later.
Yeah.
Not today, but later in the future. But yeah, you know, it was just really cool to get to work on this. Wonderful to be trusted with some of his stuff again. I'm just stoked about it.
Yeah.
Really, really neat.
So cool.
Yep.
Well, maybe we should take a quick break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we're going to no longer talk about music nerd stuff.
Well, let's not make any promises.
For now.
Yeah. Don't let your mouth write any checks you can't cash.
Fair. But we're going to get into sort of like a year in review and stuff that...
Podcast year in review.
Podcast year in review.
Specifically.
1 year anniversary podcast year in review.
That's normal. Just a normal podcast year in review like people do.
Yeah. Stuff we've learned, experiences we've had that have been valuable to us. And we're going to dive into that after the break. So stay tuned.
Yep. Be back in a sec.
See you soon. Half of the episode today, we're celebrating our anniversary.
Our podcast anniversary. Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
We've done this for a year. We've done a thing for a year. That's big. That's a big deal.
A whole year.
Yeah.
I was thinking back about like when we were like how this whole podcast was born. Mm-hmm. Like a little over a year ago, we went to Office Depot.
Yep.
And we bought one of those flip... What are those large pads of paper that you write on with big markers?
Yeah, and then you can flip it over and you have all your things. It's like a brainstorming easel.
Yeah, it was a brainstorming easel. And we had these like sort of general needs, desires that we wanted to explore how to like do a thing around.
Yeah, we knew we wanted to engage our community in a deeper way, or to put it a better way, to like give people who wanted an opportunity to engage in a deeper way mm-hmm. that opportunity.
Yes. We also had this idea that like, you know, up until that point, there was the stuff that had Shannon Curtis's name on it.
Yep.
Music that we make together, that we go out on tour together on and mm-hmm. all that. And then there was the music that you make with other people. But then there was like this, a lot of people who connect with what we do sort of maybe attached to one or both of those entities, but really it was more about you and me.
People just attached to you and me as a unit, like Shannon and Jamie.
So like,
is just like a different thing
than
Shannon or Jamie.
Exactly. So was there a way that we could sort of like create an umbrella situation where, you know, people could connect with us, just the two of us together, that wasn't really attached to either of the things we do for work?
Yeah.
You know? And at the end, we didn't go into the brainstorming session thinking we're going to start a podcast, but we ended up at the end of the brainstorming session with, we're going to start a podcast.
It was wild. Like we really just like we didn't know. We had it was not a preconceived idea. It sort of came naturally out of this brainstorming process.
Yeah.
It was very weird. And very cool. Like
and
a very successful brainstorming session.
Totally. It really was. And
I think when you arrive at something like a different place than you're expecting to,
yeah,
that's the hallmark of the ultimately successful brainstorming session.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it's just a good illustration of like, you know, when we set out to do things just in our lives, like how often we don't know the destination, right? Like,
yeah.
And so, you know, I've talked about this a lot. We've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but the idea of doing the next right thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, sitting down for that brainstorming session, we did not know what the destination of that session was going to be.
Yeah.
But we knew we just needed to like tease apart the needs we were trying to address, the desires we were trying to flesh out, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing where it led us. And it led us to a good place that we wouldn't be able to predict otherwise, you know, just trusting the process.
And it's been amazing. Something that I don't know if we really anticipated with this, or at least I didn't, is that we were hoping that it would give, I think we were short, I think I was short-sightedly seeing it as being kind of more unidirectional, because a podcast in one way is sort of unidirectional, right? Like people make podcasts and other people listen to them, you know?
Right.
There's not really like a feedback loop the other way. Except in our world, there is.
Right.
And I hadn't really anticipated that, you know?
Right.
Like I did not anticipate how rich the little micro community that we had developed around this podcast would end up feeling for me.
Right.
You know? Like it has drawn me like closer to people.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And that's just wonderful.
Yes.
It's been what people, some people would call a blessing,
right.
You know, seriously, like a really cool, unexpected thing in my life. And it's great. And there's some of you who are listening to this right now, you know who you are, people who, interact with us all of the time. And as a direct result of having grown closer with one another because of this weekly interaction.
That's right.
And it really does feel like an interaction.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is really nifty.
Yeah, I feel that too. And so in that spirit, like that's one of the things that we didn't expect that we would gain along the way.
Yeah.
We sort of made a short list of stuff that like in the last year, things that we've learned or experiences that we've had because of the podcast that maybe we wouldn't have been able to predict necessarily before starting it, and that we're going to sort of reflect on. And
go ahead, you first.
Yeah. So for me, the first thing is just, I don't think I've ever had an opportunity in my life before now to where I have a weekly appointment with myself and with you
mm-hmm.
to talk intentionally about stuff together, like specifically with you, like.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't really be talking to yourself too much.
No, I know.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that's not crazy. But, you know, like, we talk all the time. Like, we live together. We work together. We're very rarely not in the same room with each other.
And so it can be easy just not ever to really take time to intentionally talk about stuff because we're talking all the time.
You can coast a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to have a weekly appointment to get together and for you and me to be talking intentionally about fill in the blank, whatever it is that week, has been really cool.
Yeah. It's like a date. It's like a weekly date. It's cool.
It is cool.
You know, but it's like a different kind. Like sometimes you have a date to like, just like blow off steam or hang out or just like get some R&R or whatever. But this is a different kind. It's like a check-in date.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's been really good. So how about you?
Well, let's just go down this list together that we made.
Okay,
this isn't really you or me exactly,
true.
But I'll say something on the list now.
How about you go next?
Sure, yeah. Weekly opportunity to take note of what's going on. Related idea, but separate idea.
Yeah.
You know, just to really like the whole like, what did we do this week thing? That's been valuable for me.
Absolutely.
You know, just
in what way for you?
Well, for me, it's been valuable just in terms of sometimes like if you just don't intentionally think back on what you were doing over the last week, it's really easy to let some stuff go like unnoticed or not to give yourself enough credit for stuff,
right?
You know, or to like honor the stuff that you actually put a lot of time into that you didn't even, that you wouldn't necessarily remember, you know?
Sure.
It's really interesting. Like,
and beyond just productivity related stuff, just experiences, you know, mm-hmm. like if you don't have an opportunity to like take note of on a regular basis of what's going on in your life, mm-hmm. like, the weeks can pass, the months can pass, the years can pass, and it can be like, what happened? There isn't a record of it, you know? But to actually take the time. I know some people journal, you know, for this reason. I'm sure they they have a discipline of doing that, a practice in their life of journaling. I've never been much of a journaler. There were times in my life when I was, but I think I always felt like it was more of a chore than a joy, you know? But this is kind of a sort of a way of a weekly journal in a way.
Yeah.
A journal for talkers.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
There's this company called Field Notes, and they there's a wonderful company out of Chicago, and they make these beautiful little notepads.
They are.
They
beautiful.
Sell them in sets of three, and they make a new one every month, and we're on their email list, and every so often we buy one. They're just wonderful. Like little handcrafted, amazing, like little journal things.
I use them to make my grocery list in an yeah. OG kind of way.
It's great. It's great. And they have a motto. Their company motto is, "I'm not writing this down to remember it later. I'm writing this down to remember it now."
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same kind of idea.
Totally.
Right? By being mindful about focusing, kind of brings you back to the present, right? So we don't get too tethered in stuff that's way in the past or too tethered in stuff that's way in the future.
Yes.
Just like focusing like, well, okay, what was this last week? What did this mean to us?
Yeah.
Right? And especially because you and I like are always sort of on the little, a little side quest, a permanent side quest to find meaning in everything, right? And it's part of the artistic condition, I think, probably.
Totally.
But, you know, it's a real great way of just kind of narrowing that focus and just trying to be a little bit more, I don't know, just looking at things in shorter time horizons and shorter time slices.
Absolutely.
That's good, you know? It's nice, like, you know, just thinking back about, like, especially now that I've been in my work season, you know, and I've been working on, I've been doing a lot of just finishing of things over the last few weeks, you know? And it's really nice, like, I was just looking back through the last few scripts or whatever, you know?
Scripts.
Or the shout-outs that I do online or whatever, and it's like, well, 3 weeks ago, I was starting the mixes for Johnny Zachman's record. 2 weeks ago, I was pretty much done. Last week, I finished them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's
and this week, we're evaluating the masters, and we're probably going to be finished, and it's going to be out in the world soon, you know?
Yeah.
And it's neat. It's neat to sort of see the passage of time on that incremental week-by-week basis and really kind of, like, honor that a little bit. Like, just to see the... It's not just like, oh, I started a thing, and it's finished. Like, here's where it was 3 weeks ago. Here's where it was 2 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's rewarding.
Yeah. It's been a really good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other things that I was thinking about was that, you know, we talk a lot about our personal experiences on this podcast, but like just talking about like stuff that's happened to us, I don't think would be all that interesting to people.
Yeah.
And so we really have to think about it as like, how do our personal experiences relate to the larger world we live in and to the world we want to live in? You know, like everything that we talk about here, I feel like I'm thinking about it always like, okay, this happened to us or I had this experience, you know, what does that mean for a larger conversation?
Like, yeah.
And so to have an opportunity to sort of tie our personal experiences to, or find the link from those, you know, personal experiences to a larger experience, you know, the experience of the community of people who are listening to this or thinking about what those experiences mean in terms of how we want to approach our engagement with the world, you know, the kind of art we're making, the kind of relationships we're building, the kind of political activity we're going to be involved in, you know, like all those things, like taking those moments of personal experience and extrapolating them to what does this mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because what it sort of does in a kind of macro way, looking at it from this point of view, is that it really causes us to return very intentionally a lot of the time to, is what we're doing improving the lives of the people listening? You know what I mean?
Totally.
Because like if we're just talking about some random thing that doesn't have any value at all for the people listening, like why would they listen?
Boring.
You know? Yeah. Well, seriously.
Totally.
And the whole point of doing this, the whole point of starting this, as we alluded to a few minutes ago, was the idea that we wanted something, another way to engage our community, another way to improve the lives of the people that have chosen to interact with us, you know? And like, feeling a need to focus on that in the podcast, in the micro, I think has engendered in me a greater sense of the idea that I should be thinking about that in a larger sense just overall in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That mindfulness that it brings us back to each week, I think has sort of seeped in over the last year.
Sure.
Permeated a little bit,
that's
you know?
That's so interesting. Like, I think, yeah, to riff on what you're saying, like it's... maybe even more than, or maybe a different way of saying it than that, you know, is what we're doing bringing value to another person's life? Like, maybe how are we being of service?
Yeah, right.
Right. How are we being of service to others, or being what kind of are we being service? How are we being of service to the world at large?
Yeah.
You know, like what good are we trying to offer?
Yeah.
You know. That's a really, really interesting perspective.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, you know, I've got a service mentality anyway from my, you know, from what I've learned in AA and and whatnot, you know. I'm very mindful of the idea that, you know, being of service, generally speaking, is a good way to help one's sobriety, you know. But I'm starting to, like, really extrapolate that much further outward, just the idea that it's just a good way to kind of do life. And that it seems, at least for me, to invite a lot more bounty into my life.
Totally.
You know? It just seems just, I don't know, just through whatever weird vagaries of karmic coincidence, like every time I do something selflessly for someone else with no immediate tangible gain to be gotten from it.
And strings attached.
And no strings attached, you know. I mean, be that like, you know, just helping someone with something, doing, you know, mastering something for someone at little or no cost, you know, just, you know, there's different ways to volunteer and be of service doing music stuff for people, you know. And literally every time I do one of those, it seems like really soon after, I mean, 3 days, a week, you know, like, just some random job will show up out of the clear blue sky that I wasn't expecting or looking for.
Right.
You know, it's just very interesting.
Right.
It's like kind of like the universe is immediately being like, yep, good, do more of that.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that just the mentality of giving away with an open hand.
Yeah.
What you're left with after giving something away with an open hand is an open hand to receive, you know, like,
whoa, holy shit.
But you know what I mean? Like you, that just,
did you just make that up? That's pretty deep.
I don't know. I'm sure I'm not the first person to have uttered that idea.
Profound. It's like I'm living with Buddha or something. It's great.
Rumi over here.
Yeah.
But the idea like when I open myself in that way to offer myself as to be of service of others.
Yeah.
There's just an openness of spirit that comes along with that just having that posture allows me to be more open to the idea of the bounty in my life, you know, whether or not it's a tangible, recognizable thing that comes my way, you know, like a transactional kind of thing. Just the state of being allows me to experience more of the bounty in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. I think that's right.
What else?
We sort of touched on this obliquely, but just another angle on it. It's opened, this podcast has opened up more opportunities for us to have in-depth communication with our community, which is really nifty, you know? And we sort of alluded to this, you know, over the last few minutes. But because we are talking about, you know, some specific things on the podcast each week, you know, then the ability just to sort of take that and sort of push it out, you know, first into our private, you know, Misfit Stars Facebook group that we have. Mm-hmm. Did we mention that earlier?
We did not.
If not, hey, listener, if you want to be part of this like more in-depth conversation, just become a supporting member of the podcast, misfitstars.com/join. We'll invite you to this private group. In the private group.
Yeah.
We talk about a lot of stuff. People seem to find it to be kind of a cool safe space just to talk more vulnerably about things in their life that are a little bit more personal. They might hold a little closer to the vest in general. But specifically, like sometimes you and I will talk about something here on this podcast that then starts a really cool sort of follow-up conversation. Mm-hmm. And we get to hear not just our perspective on whatever it is that we have talked about, but then we get to hear all of our people's perspectives and we can learn stuff. And it's wonderful, you know, because our people are smart and cool and interesting. And then we have, you know, then we have more smart and cool and interesting perspectives in our lives. And that's good.
Yes.
I'm totally into that.
Yeah. I've loved that too. Yeah. Just the community building aspect of it. I've also thought that that getting on a microphone each week to talk about important things or things that matter to us.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes the things that matter to us or the things that feel like they're essential or important to talk about can be potentially sensitive.
That's
right. You
know?
And so, like, if it's just the two of us talking in our living room, we don't have to be so careful with our words, you know, about
how we can make mistakes, kind of get around to it, figure it out.
Yeah. And not that we don't make mistakes on this podcast and get around to it and figure it out also, because like, we do that.
Constantly.
But I think that I just having the opportunity on a regular basis to speak about potentially sensitive topics, knowing that whatever I say into this microphone is going to be available for the general public to listen to.
Yeah.
Really sort of keeps me accountable to being careful with my words.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't mean careful in a way that like where I'm holding back.
Yeah.
Just careful in the way of making sure I'm choosing kindness.
Yeah.
And making sure I'm choosing, you know, just inviting language, and you know, like just it really, we have to be on point in terms of our communication skills when we're talking about this stuff. You know, like it's been a good practice because honestly, when we are just sitting around in our living room talking to each other, it's easy sometimes. Like, let's say we're having a disagreement.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It can be easy to just get lazy and not be careful, like, even with one another.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But just to have the practice of, like...
Just to kind of just, like, be a dick, just to get frustrated and just want to kind of jab the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good pathway to have been building in our brains, I think, to listen.
Yep.
And choose responses carefully.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that's wrapped in accountability.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely
true. It's been really good for me.
I'm sure that it has improved our communication, just you and me, just like in our day-to-day life outside of the podcast, you know?
Probably.
I think that I have become a better listener. I think I've become better specifically at listening without interrupting, even when I'm like, you're just being a fucking idiot and I just need you to stop talking so I can correct the record here, you know? I feel like I have been getting better at stifling that impulse, and no matter how mad I might be, just like letting you say the stupid thing that you're gonna say and then saying my piece when it's my turn, you know?
Or letting me say the stupid thing that I'm gonna say and then realizing, oh, that wasn't so stupid after all.
Dang. That stupid thing she said is actually kind of smart.
I'm totally kidding. I think you're right, though. Yeah. I think that it has made us better communicators with each other.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Marriage advice, start a podcast together.
Yeah, right.
You never know what might come of it. You know, I think that we can't leave this section without just reiterating the notion that the richness that the involvement of our community, specifically of our Misfit Stars community, has brought into our lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really, really cool to get to build those relationships over the last year.
Yeah. It's been wonderful. So, you know, stars, supporting members, people who we see in the private group and with whom we have these sort of deeper interactions, thank you. This year has been a real joy for us, and you've been a huge part of making that the joy that it has been, and that's really cool. We're very grateful to you for it, and thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest of you who are listening, thank you for being along on this journey with us, too. We may have never interacted with you one time. You may just be passively lurking and listening. And you know what? That's wonderful. We feel your energy out there. We have a sense of a greater responsibility to our community as a result of you giving us your ears.
Mm.
And it's a big deal to us. And you know, if you would, if you want to be a deeper part of it, hey, become a supporting member, get yourselves into that private group. It's pretty nifty in there. I know the internet can be a hellhole a lot of the time, especially over this last couple of years.
Yeah.
The Misfit Stars private Facebook group is one of the few last places out there where I just feel like I can just be vulnerable and open and honest, and everything is just fine. You don't have to worry about, you can express sensitive things without the potential for someone just to be a flaming asshole in your mentions. You know what
totally.
I mean? Totally. As can so often happen, right? Like you put your heart out there on Facebook and someone's just a dick and it's like, ugh, this did not reinforce the behavior I was hoping to have reinforced,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to have your better impulses rewarded, hey, come into the private group. We would love to have you there. So
the way that you do that, by the way, is you go
do a pitch.
You go to misfitstars.com/join.
Yep.
You decide which level of support you want to be a part of. The lowest level is $5 a month.
Yeah.
And
16 cents a day, people.
Good math in your head.
16.67 if it's a 31-day month. Yeah.
So you should really divide by 365 and then 12.
Oh, dang, yeah. You're right. I should really divide it out on a per day basis, but I feel like I'm close there.
You're doing good.
Thanks.
But you choose your level of support. There is a level where you get a sticker sheet, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really cool sticker sheet.
A sticker sheet is more than one sticker. It's a sheet of multiple stickers on the thing. Just in case you're not clear on this, maybe you've never seen a sticker sheet. I don't know.
I used to collect stickers.
Oh, man. Hey, total digression. But so you and I have been eating like mandarin oranges at breakfast for the last couple of months.
Where
we
is
got
this
some
going?
Halos.
Oh.
And the Halos, turns out, oh my gosh, they have stickers. Each individual little teeny tiny mandarin orange has a separate oval sticker, a small like half inch wide oval sticker with a little character on it. There's a bunch of different characters and they're all adorable and they're all doing different things. And it's the best.
I don't think that Halo thought that that their sticker scheme was going to be most popular with a 47-year-old dude in Tacoma, Washington.
Oh, my gosh. I was obsessed with fruit stickers when I was a kid, especially, like, living in the middle of, like, rural Vermont, like, growing up in the 70s, you know? I vividly remember being 5, 6 years old, and, like, when we got the Chiquita bananas, like, they would have the sort of vertical oval kind of half, like, yeah. 3/4 inch wide by inch tall ovals. Yeah. They were blue with a little yellow band and the yellow print.
I remember.
And they all looked the same, except they'd have a different country of origin.
Oh.
It was like collecting stamps. Seriously, there was like, you know, Nicaragua, Bolivia, Colombia, Panama. They got their bananas from all over the South.
So, class, tell us about your hobbies.
Yeah.
I collect banana stickers.
I collect banana stickers. Yeah. And oh my gosh, this really harkens back to that for me, like little characters on stickers on pieces of fruit. So anyway, people, if you want some of that magic in your life, to bring this full circle, just go to MrStars.com/join. That's the $10 a month level. There are not like fruit stickers, although I would be totally down to make another sticker sheet for like 2020 that has like fruit stickers inspired like little motifs, because oh my gosh, how adorable. But point being, you can get yourself some adorable stickers. You could put them on your phone. Mine's on my phone. It's great.
And there's also a t-shirt level.
But $20.
The point is, you go misfitstars.com/join.
Yeah.
Become a star. We would love it.
It would be like your anniversary present to us. If you want to say, hey, happy podcast anniversary, Shannon and Jamie. Hey, why not just like become a supporting member of the podcast, you know? Throw that $5 a month at it. We will continue to do what we hope you think are good things in the world with those $5. So, you know, yeah. thanks in advance. I hope there's a small flood of new subscribers for our anniversary. No pressure. No pressure. But we'd be really grateful.
We're looking at you.
We're looking at you, listener.
Thank you so much for joining us today, for giving us your ears for the last little while and for the last year.
Yeah, so much.
We're so grateful to y'all. We'll be back again next week with more. Next week, we're going to be on our way to celebrate Thanksgiving. So this might have to be an on-the-road episode.
Oh, yeah. We might record this in the car.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for next week's. But until then, take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other.
Yeah. We love you guys very much. Thank you for being on this journey with us.
We'll see you soon.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.